Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is based mainly on the gospel reading, Jesus' words to his disciples. First he prays to the Father, and then he continues to explain to his disciples his invitation. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So far our text. Today's gospel lesson is, plainly speaking, about how easy it is to follow Christ. How easy it is to follow Christ. This is so, first of all, because Christ reveals God's will, and he does so to us freely. Second, God's will for our life is not complicated, but very simple. Not difficult, but very easy. First, Christ reveals God's will to us freely. Jesus begins this lesson by praying to his Father. He says, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things." Hidden these things, his gospel, from the wise and the understanding, and revealed them to little children. To know Christ and believe in him is not something that comes through intensive study, through years of schooling, testing, and accreditation. It is a gift of God. He reveals knowledge and faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And he does so selectively. First, he hides it from the wise and the understanding. A professor of mine I once had pointed out that faith in Jesus Christ, belief and trust in him, is not a mystery. It's not a mystery or hard to understand why people would come to Christ. Rather, the mystery is unbelief. It is simply astounding that there are doctors, lawyers, dentists, men and women of all professions, especially in this area, who have great amounts of schooling and learning, and who lead disciplined and ethical lives, who know and have read the Bible, and yet they do not know or confess Jesus Christ as the one true God, because they believe in a false gospel. Instead, they believe ridiculous, blasphemous things about Satan being Jesus' brother, and how Jesus earned his divinity, and we will too someday. So teaches the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They believe the doctrines of a man who was a treasure hunter and a scam artist, who invented a new religion by perverting the Word of God and writing a whole new revelation he says he received from an angel, a new Bible written on golden tablets and against God's clear word and with no proof at all. They believe it. A man who claimed to be a prophet but changed his mind about what God said about him over and over again. You know, Joseph Smith was not a prophet of God. He was a false Christ. Anyone can see it with plain eyes. And the church he founded is a synagogue of Satan. And yet God has sent them a strong delusion because they exchanged his truth, his clear word in the Holy Scriptures for a lie. And it doesn't matter how smart anyone is. Did you know that the man with the longest winning streak on Jeopardy is a Mormon and believes their blasphemy? How can a man who seems to know everything not know the most important thing? It doesn't really matter. because it is God who reveals the truth of the gospel. Not to the wise, but to little children who simply believe his clearly preached word. Martin Luther once said that the plain teachings of the Bible are so obvious and clear that even a little schoolboy can understand them. If you know simply how to read a sentence, you can know what the Bible is teaching. For instance, Isaiah 46:10 says, "My counsel shall stand, and my will shall be brought to pass." It's God speaking. "My counsel shall stand, and my will shall come to pass." What could this possibly mean? Well, it's simple. What God teaches is eternal and always reliable, and what he promises will happen. You can take it to the bank. You don't need a PhD in biblical studies to understand what this simple passage means. In fact, it becomes more and more obvious today that excessive learning serves more to muddy the waters and make men doubt the plain words of Scripture, so they don't have to believe God's word and obey it, as a child obeys simply his parents' instructions. So it is that those who seek knowledge from the world, who seek peace from the world, who seek salvation and safety from the world, will not find it from God. He withholds it from them. That's what the Scripture says today. He hides these things from the wise and the understanding. He withholds it. You know, Jesus spoke in parables so that in seeing they do not believe, and in hearing they will not understand. Some of the smartest people I know, even pastors, have trouble simply saying, "Thus saith the Lord," about the simplest things in Scripture. They believe there's always more to consider, more to study, more to know before you can commit to what the Bible teaches plainly. It's false. And may the whole world be called a liar, that God remain true. We subscribe to and confess the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, because it so simply confesses what the Bible teaches, a two-year-old can understand it. Jesus came down from heaven, was born, died for our sins, rose again, defeating death, ascended to heaven, and he will come again to set all things right. So simple. And yet intellectual men of high reputation continually question, "Did God really say?" That's what the serpent said in the garden, by the way. Did God really say? Did God really say what he said? Yes, he did. He said, for instance, that cross-dressing is a sin. But did he mean it? Yes, okay, he meant it at the time. But does he really mean it for the world as complex as it is today? Yes, okay, he meant it for all time, but does he really mean it for today? Maybe he said it and meant it for always, but does he really want us to teach it when the world won't listen anyway? Just preach that winsome gospel instead? Friends, Jesus says, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father." That's everything that he teaches. "And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Thus saith the Lord our God." And the Lord reveals himself not to the proud or to the self-sufficient, the intellectuals would try to know God through their own investigations. No one but no one finds God unless he wants to be found. No one comes to God unless he calls them. And he calls them. Not through schools and universities, not through historical investigations and the scientific method. Many do seek him in these things, but they will not find him. The Father reveals himself only through his Son, who is the Word made flesh, and who teaches his eternal and unimpeachable will to little children, disciples, who hear, believe, and obey what they have been taught from the Scriptures, because it is from their Heavenly Father who knows all things, and who gives them all things from his love. And it is a great comfort to know that it's not up to your intellect or your investigations to reveal God. He reveals himself freely through his Son. There are those who try to find God apart from Christ and his Word. Scripture says this about them: they are always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Always learning, never arriving at the truth. How true. Because by the Holy Scriptures, the truth is handed down to them on a silver platter, and they put it aside to find God's truth another way. And their investigations entrench them even more in the world and its false promises, and further away from the Master who bought them and freely would give all things to them if only they would receive them in faith. Instead, they want to become wise in the eyes of the world. And so God regards them as fools and will not entrust himself to them, for he knows the hearts of men. And so God's will for our life is not complicated, but simple. It's not difficult, but easy. God in Jesus Christ tells you who he is, what he has done for you and for your salvation, and what he expects of you. You don't have to work for it. He tells you all you need to know, and you can rest and not be anxious. I can imagine nothing more anxious than not knowing what God wants. But he tells us in his Word. And so Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, it's a very common question in Protestant evangelicalism to ask, what is God's will for your life? I can think of no greater burden to lay on God's people than to tell them that it's up to them to figure out what God wants them to do. Jesus says elsewhere, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That's what Christ wants you to do. And that cross is heavy. And that cross will crush you if you try to hold it up by your own powers without Christ. You must first deny yourself, repent, turn away from your own ideas and your own ambitions because they weigh you down. Jesus says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. He said to the rich young man who kept all God's commandments, evidently, but he said, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you have. Give your possessions to the poor and come and follow me." The young man left, weeping, for he had many possessions. An illustration, and I'm sure it's not just my children, but I know for sure my children have this sort of a problem. My son is reading a book or playing with some toy. I send him upstairs to get dressed for the day or tell him to go get his shoes on because we're leaving. 15 minutes later, I see him still trying to get ready. He didn't drop his book. He didn't put down the toy. But he continued to read or to play, rather than set down the book, grab the shoe with both hands and put it on easily. He'll wiggle his foot forever in that shoe, hoping it'll eventually just slip on. He'll sit upstairs and play with his toy, and I'll ask him 2, 3, 4 times why he isn't dressed yet. Oh, I forgot, as he continues to play with his toy. Distracted. First, put down the book. You can put your shoe on easily in an instant. Put down the toy, and you won't forget again and again and again what you were clearly, plainly told to do. So too, for those who want to balance their worldly ambitions and desires while serving God, the cross he gives them will be heavy, and it will be a yoke they cannot bear, and they will cast Christ's yoke aside and him with it. But to those who cast aside their ambitions and self-serving priorities that have nothing to do with God, even cast aside their very self, they will find that Christ's commands are not burdensome. They will find his yoke is light because he's the one who carries the load. You simply follow. You cannot serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other. Serve Christ, and his gift is eternal. His peace is right now, and his way is to the Heavenly Father who gives all things freely to his own sons and daughters. This is not to say there is no struggle in this life for those who live with Christ. St. Paul gives a powerful account of his own struggle against the flesh in the epistle reading from today. Though he is an apostle, though he has Christ, and Christ has him, he still struggles with sin that remains in all believers until death. He says, "The good that I want to do, I don't do it. And the evil I do not want to do, I do it. Who can save me from this body of death?" He says, "Thanks be to God, who has given us the victory in Christ Jesus, our Lord." When you come to Christ, he gives you the Holy Spirit, who makes you holy and gives you the desire for righteousness. That is to hate things that are sinful and to love things that are of God. Trying to keep God's commandments without hating sin, it's impossible. And though you struggle to do what pleases God, you still struggle and you still war against your flesh because you are not content with your sin and you want to do better. If you didn't, your sin would flow off you like water off a duck's back, preparing you for destruction. But you hate it. And that is a holy and pious desire, and it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And when you fail, have failed, continue to fail, remember that Christ has succeeded in fulfilling all righteousness for you who believe. And by your faith, his righteousness is yours. Without Christ, you cannot do anything but love sin and hate God. But following Jesus is easy, because he reveals all things to you, gives all things to you, and he teaches you to cast aside your sin and love his commandments and the ability to do it from the heart, because he has already accomplished your salvation. And your following God's law is not some unwelcome burden, but a labor of love for your heavenly Father, who does all things for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.